right, here we go. It's Tuesday, February 17th, 2015, and here are the stories we're covering this week. Dutch MPs are demanding that the government beef up their online infrastructure after a DDoS attack took most of the government's websites down last week. A very slick and professional cyber robbery has been taking place for the past 2 years, siphoning roughly $1 billion from worldwide banks. President Obama wants tech firms to open up and share more information with the government in a collaborative way, but they're just not buying it. A California-based company is stripping the carbon out of the air and turning it into usable plastic, and they say they can do it cheaper and much more environmentally friendly than the current methods. And an online security researcher found a bug in Facebook's code that would have allowed him to delete any of your public photos. These stories are coming right up. Don't go anywhere. Depending on where you're located in this big old world of ours, you may remember it as either the Sega Mega Drive or the Sega Genesis. And now, more than a quarter of a century after its original release in Japan, it's more convenient than ever to take these classic Sega games with you. My review is coming right up, so stick around.
Try it. Buy it.
Here are the top stories from the Category5.tv newsroom. It has been confirmed that a cyber attack took down most of the Dutch government's websites last Tuesday. The attack, which also took down some private sites, highlighted the vulnerability of public infrastructure. It came as the U.S. beefed up its defenses and followed warnings that sites belonging to the French authorities had been targeted. Dutch MPs demanded that the government ensures state sites were capable of withstanding similar attacks in the future. In a statement, the Dutch government confirmed that it had been the victim of a distributed denial of service attack, or DDoS, in which servers are flooded with traffic, causing the sites to fail to load. So for the actual government itself to be exposed to such an attack it's scary.
What some people don't realize necessarily is that these kinds of attacks happen all the time. Our server gets whacked away so much, and we have grown to the point where our server, and I really, you know, you got to knock on wood and just, like, you never want to get cocky about this kind of server administration, but our server's pretty robust now that I've learned how to administer a server against a DDoS attack, and hopefully we never have to deal with one that is beyond our capabilities. But when you're in the government, they come... And they are huge.
Right.
The distributed denial of service itself in the name means there is a distribution of the attack from multiple endpoints, which means thousands of computers, possibly more, all attacking that server all at one time.
My goodness. Mm-hmm. Scary stuff. I'm happy that we're taking, the U.S. is taking precautions against it actively as well. So that's good. Mm-hmm. The Dutch will get it under control. A new report has revealed that up to 100 banks and financial institutions worldwide have been attacked in an unprecedented cyber robbery. Computer security firm Kaspersky Lab estimates that $1 billion has been stolen in the attacks, which it says started in 2013 and are still ongoing.
Oh.
A cyber criminal gang with members from Russia, Ukraine, and China is responsible. Kaspersky said that it worked with the Interpol and Europol on the investigation. It said the attacks had taken place in 30 countries, including financial firms in Russia, U.S., Germany, China, Ukraine, and Canada. Kaspersky said that the gang's method marked a new stage in cyber robbery where malicious users steal money directly from the banks and avoid targeting end users. How very considerate. The gang, which Kaspersky dubbed Carbonac, used computer viruses to infect company networks with malware, including video surveillance, enabling it to see and record everything that happened on staff's screens. In some cases, it was then able to transfer money from the bank's accounts to their own, or even able to tell cash machines to dispense cash at a predetermined time of day.
No.
Yeah, can you imagine walking past a bank machine that had been programmed just to spit cash out? And be like...
I can imagine this.
Wow. Yeah. But if that happens to you, you're part of some intricate web of criminal activity. Calling it a very slick and professional cyber robbery, Kaspersky said that on average, each bank robbery took between 2 and 4 months, with up to $10 million stolen each time. That is significant.
This is the next generation of thievery.
Yeah.
Being able to steal that amount of money just like that. We always thought cybercrime would be the one penny out of each account so nobody notices, but to be able to pull $10 million,
yeah,
I guess there's time involved. So, it takes a couple months.
Yeah, so it takes time and effort, but sure. What is money really now?
It's a virtual currency. What is money? It's universe dollars.
All money really is. A lot of times in banks, I mean, do they have actual cash dollars? No, they have account amounts on a computer, right? They don't keep the amount of money that they have in the actual bank itself.
It's not a physical thing anymore.
No, so I mean, it's crazy to think, but yeah, you could have $10 million stolen from an account if the bank wasn't watching.
And right? These are not, the scary thing is that these are not Bitcoin banks and things. These are actual banks that you go in and deposit your paychecks into. This is the real deal. But it's been going on for 2 years, and we're just kind of finding out about it now.
Yeah, we're going to get back to stuffing our mattresses with our dollar bills. All right. According to U.S. President Barack Obama, private tech firms should share more information with government and each other to tackle cybercrime. The issue has become a White House priority since a widely publicized hack of Sony Pictures at the end of 2014. But some key tech firms are concerned about government surveillance.
Yeah.
Some. Wait, there's more.
Oh.
Senior Google, Yahoo, and Facebook executive turned down invitations to the White House Cybersecurity Summit held at Stanford University. Relations between the U.S. government and tech firms has been strained since electronic surveillance practices were exposed by former National Security Agency contractor Edward Snowden. President Obama is bringing a message of inclusive collaboration to beat cyber threats and a coordinated federal approach superseding the patchwork of state laws, which might be sensible. But the absence of Silicon Valley's most senior figures hints at a deep division between it and Washington. They are uneasy about allying strongly with an administration tarnished by Edward Snowden's revelations the NSA has spied extensively on their customers. Mr. Obama's own intelligence officials now say cybercrime poses a more pressing threat to national security than terrorism. Well, he would say that. He would say that when he wants people to, you know, open up and share more of their information.
I don't like to get into the conspiracy theorism and all that kind of stuff, but there tends to be, we're in that time where everything is digital, right? And they're right to be wary of a government that would admittedly spy on people and steal data.
They wouldn't admittedly do it. That's the problem. Well, they didn't admittedly do it at all.
Not,
they
not
did it, and then
voluntarily, exactly. Admittedly. No, were, of course not. But good for them for standing up for privacy.
And, right. You know,
but well, let's try working together collaboratively.
Yeah. So if Edward Snowden didn't come forth, I wonder what this conversation would have looked like.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Maybe it would be a different thing. Maybe everybody would be at this summit and they would be, you know, happily cooperating, right?
But would this discussion have ever needed to be necessary had Snowden not come forward, because it would have just continued, they would have just continued on the same path.
Right. Interesting. Mm. It'll be neat to see how this develops.
Definitely.
This coming up is the best news story I have read all week. The plastics industry creates 1.8 trillion pounds of carbon emissions every year, but now one company has figured out a way to take the pollution and turn it into plastic that you can hold in your hand. Located in Costa Mesa, California, New Light Technologies is forming plastic out of thin air, literally. New Light CEO Mark Harima said, "We could be breathing this right now." He's figured out how to make plastics out of destructive carbon emissions that would otherwise heat the atmosphere, rather than with fossil fuels such as oil. Most importantly, he figured out a way to do it cheaper. It's something he has been working on for 11 years since he started with the company. He started the company with his friend Kenton Kimmel in his parents' garage. Some of the smartest people have started their companies in their parents' garage.
Isn't it true? Yeah.
Bill Gates, I think, did that.
Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah. Here's how it works. Carbon emissions are captured from farms, landfills, and energy facilities and are fed into a 50-foot-tall reactor at New Light's plant. A bundle of enzymes strips out the carbon and oxygen and rearranges them into a substance they call air carbon. The product is then melted down and cooled inside tubes and sliced into little thin plastic pellets that can be molded into anything. Harima calls it a disruptive technology that's going to change the world. New Light is selling its plastics to companies such as furniture maker KI, who uses it to create chairs. There are also air carbon cell phone cases, soap dishes, and plastic bags. At a recent Fortune magazine event, Michael Dell announced his company will use New Light's air carbon bags to wrap its computers. The challenge is for New Light to grow its business enough to disrupt the $380 billion U.S. plastics industry. I will say, Robbie, that if you could take plastic out of the air and turn it into a spool of that plastic that you can use for 3D printers, then you can really do anything. Like, you can make shoes out of air pollution. Like, you could do
anything. That's a crazy thought, is it not?
Yeah.
And who thinks up this stuff?
Yeah.
I just make plastic out of air? It's an interesting use of magic.
Yes, technology, this alchemy.
But to be able to take something that is typically pollution, bad for the environment, turn it into something that's usable and reusable.
Yeah, how good for our lungs, because really they work as the filter, right? We breathe this in, and I guess it must just stay inside of us.
Well, but I guess it is based on carbon dioxide, right? So, that right? So it's not like I'm not breathing in plastic.
Right.
I'm breathing in the building blocks that they're using to create plastic. Okay.
I love it.
Cool.
Way to go. Cool. Forward thinking. So, public photos on Facebook could have been deleted with just 4 lines of code, says an online security researcher. Laxman Mathia was playing around with a Graph API, the tool which developers use to make Facebook apps. Testing it on his own photos, Mathia found a way to manipulate the code so that it deleted one of his images. He explained in a blog post, "I got access to delete all of your Facebook photos, photos which are public, or the photos that at least he could see." He immediately reported the bug to Facebook's security team and says they were fast in identifying this issue and there was a fix in place in less than 2 hours from the acknowledgement of the report. A Facebook spokesperson has since confirmed the sequence of events, and Mathia has posted a screenshot of a Facebook message saying that he's been offered $12,500 as a reward for finding the fault. That is great. Good sleuthing. I wish I knew this before they fixed it, because there's a couple of pictures I would love to delete.
You know what our viewers are thinking is, I wish that I could get money for pointing out Robbie's faults.
I wish that I could just be smart enough to find something. Like, there's oversight in any major company like that.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Right? So
that's pretty major.
Something like Facebook, right? Which, I mean, yes, there's obviously a coding fault of some sort.
Yes.
So for me to actually be able to find that so easily, not that it was easy, I'm sure, but 4 lines of code?
Yeah.
$12,000. Nice.
What?
Yeah. For all your tech news with a slight Linux bias, visit the Category5.tv newsroom at newsroom.category5.tv. For the Category5.tv newsroom, I'm Sasha Dermatis.